with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you on this cold, blustery night. We have some hardy souls this evening. We pray that God would richly bless us. And the question before us is the question that we hear in our Old Testament reading. Is God among us or not? 30, 40 degree temperature drop in the last few hours. Where's God in all this? Is God among us or not? We have problems in our lives. Where's God? Why doesn't he help? This is a very real question that God answers for us tonight. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts. A few words on our worship service. Our opening hymn, as we heard in our prelude, number 907. 907, God himself is present. Great hymn, especially with the theme for this evening. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. That's on page 151 and following. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria. The propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. The readings are on the back. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence among us. You promise us that wherever two or more are gathered in your name, that you are there. You are there with your word, comforting, encouraging, strengthening, but most of all, forgiving. Heavenly Father, bless us with the comfort, the assurance, and the faith to know that in any and every situation, you will never leave us nor forsake us. All these things we pray in the powerful, precious name of Jesus, crucified and risen for us, the Word made flesh, who makes his dwelling among us. Amen. Hymn 907.
Divine Service Setting 1, page 151, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the inside of your bulletin. We'll sing together the introit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God,
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson this evening for the week of Septuagesima comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual as it's found in our bulletin. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. The epistle lesson comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 534.
Thank you.
grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the Old Testament reading from Exodus 17, especially that last line. Is the Lord among us or not? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are stuck in the middle of a desert. There is no water. You are thirsty. This is a problem. This is a major problem. This is a life or death problem. Is it any wonder then that the people of God grumbled? They grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against God. More than likely, they grumbled with one another. Isn't that what happens when we find ourselves in a threatening situation? Oh, maybe not a situation that threatens life or death, but something that deals with our survival. Maybe it's a situation at work. People are getting laid off. Wages are frozen. We begin to grumble and complain. It's a matter of survival. How will we pay our bills? How will we meet our commitments? How can I save for retirement? It's a matter of survival. Maybe it's a relationship that we have, a husband or a wife, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, parent and child, and this relationship is breaking. Our survival is threatened. We begin to grumble. We grumble about the other person. We become bitter. We lash out. The grumbling and the bitterness gets deep-seated. We begin to envy other relationships, and we wish ours could be like that relationship. Grumbling leads to discontent, and discontent leads to envy, and envy leads to rebellion. My friends, we've all been there. We've all experienced it on one side or the other. Grumbling is real. Discontent is real. Envy is real. Rebellion is real. But what we fail to see so often is that when these things are happening in our heart, in our lives, or happening to us, that this is Satan at work. Satan at work. Satan, who wants us to have short-term memory loss. Satan, who teaches us to question the very presence of God. Is God among us or not? God, if you are really God, if you really love me, then why is this happening at work? Why is this happening at church? Why is this happening in my heart? Why is this happening in my relationship? Why is this happening to my health or the health of someone I love? Where are you, God? Is God among us? Is God with me? Is God for me? Or is God against me? Or is God impotent to act? Or doesn't God care? Maybe there is no God after all. My friends, when Satan works on you to the point where you think, feel, or even say, "Where is God? Is God among us or not?" We need to remember. We need to remember His word. We need to remember the way He has been with us in the past. We need to remember everything that God has done for us right here and right now. And we need to remember what God promises to do for us in the future. That was the problem with the children of Israel. They forgot. They forgot the strong, mighty arm of the Lord. They forgot everything that He had done for them. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for over 4 centuries. Their cries went out to God, "Hear our prayers, notice our suffering, send a deliverer." And when the time was right, God raised up Moses. Moses, who is an interesting study in and of himself, but Moses, the reluctant leader, Moses stands before Pharaoh, speaking the word of God, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh's heart was hard. He would not listen to the word of God. And so God displayed His power and His might. He displayed the fact that He was among the children of Israel. He was fighting for them and not against them. Plague after plague after plague was dealt out by God on the people. The children of Israel were kept safe. The Egyptians suffered miserably. And yet Pharaoh refused to listen to the word of God. He hardened his heart to the point where God hardened his heart. And finally, after the last plague, the death of the firstborn of all Egypt, finally, Pharaoh relented and the children of Israel were set free. They were set free. They rejoiced. They plundered all of Egypt. They went their merry way to worship God and to enjoy their freedom. But their freedom didn't last long, or so it seemed. All of a sudden, they are pinned between Pharaoh's oncoming army and the Red Sea. You can almost hear the grumbling of the people, can't you? "Oh, sure, He set us free to be slaughtered by the Red Sea. Is God among us or not?" God displayed His power and His might. Moses lifted up the staff. The Red Sea waters parted as God blew a breath from His nostrils. A wall of water on one side, a wall of water on the other, and the children of Israel passed through from certain death to life. They passed through on dry ground. And as they reached the other side, singing songs of victory, Pharaoh and his army followed. And the walls of water came crashing down. The horse and the rider, Pharaoh himself, dead on the bottom of the sea. God displayed His might and power. God delivered redemption, salvation, freedom to His children. And now as they journey to the place where God is about to reveal for them His holy law, they're in the middle of the wilderness. They're in the middle of the desert. It's hot. It's dry. They're thirsty. Rather than remembering God's love, God's power, God's providence, God's provision, rather than crying out to God, "Please, God, remember us in our need," they grumbled. They became discontented. They envied even slavery. Oh, at least when we were slaves, we had food in our belly and water in our mouth. They plotted rebellion. Their first rebellion was against Moses, ready to stone him. But ultimately, their rebellion was against God. No one could have blamed God if he had become fed up with this whining, grumbling, discontented, rebellion-prone people. But in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, he provided for the people of God what they needed, as he always does. Moses, take the staff, the very staff that you held over the Red Sea waters, and strike it against the rock. And water came flowing from the rock. Water from a rock? It's a miracle. God provided for his people. My friends, what are we to learn from this? We can easily sit back and make fun of and mock the children of Israel, can't we? How could they possibly have forgotten God? They had witnessed the plagues. The crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground was still fresh in their memories. How in the world could they have not trusted in God? We could do that. Satan would love it if that's what we did with this text. But this account from Holy Scripture, as is the entire Word of God, is about us. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, we, the baptized, who have crossed over from death to life, from slavery on one side of our holy baptism, passing through the water to forgiveness, life, salvation, and freedom on the other side. How quick are we to grumble and complain against God when things don't go exactly our way? My friends, we who have witnessed by grace through faith the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the words of Holy Scripture. How quickly are we transferred from grumbling to discontentment, envious of what others have that we wish we had, prone to rebellion, maybe against your pastor, but ultimately, rebellion against your brothers and sisters in Christ and rebellion against God. How quickly we forget the love and the promises and the forgiveness that God has freely given us. How quick we are to grumble and rebel. No one could blame God if he would wipe us out and start from scratch. But instead, God, who is with us, God who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. God who is gracious even when we are ungrateful and unloving. God provides for us water from the rock. We heard in our epistle lesson, right? The rock is Christ. The rock which moved around with the children of Israel. Christ, who really is present among us right here and right now. Christ, who quenches our thirst with the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness for all of our grumbling. Forgiveness for all of our discontent. Forgiveness for all of our envy and rebellion. Forgiveness for all of our idolatry. Because that's really what we get down to, isn't it? When we grumble and complain, it's because we are not happy and satisfied with the gifts that God has given us. He satisfies our thirst with the forgiveness of sins. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. He satisfies our thirst with the very body and blood of Christ in and under bread and wine. He satisfies our thirst by continuing to give us promises that He is with us always, even to the end of the age. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. My friends, God satisfies our thirst and takes away our fear. He satisfies our thirst with the forgiveness of sins. Your survival is guaranteed. Not by outward circumstances, but by the holy blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. My friends, you are never alone. Why? The Lord is among us. The Lord is with you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds, our doubts and our fears, and even our grumbling, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This evening we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And God, even the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The divine service continues with the prayer of the church. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you on this evening our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, so that all who profess themselves to be Christian may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed into their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all of those who are in authority over us. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation, that you would always make known your ways among us, that we might not grumble against you or your servants, but instead that we would always be firm in the faith, knowing that you are truly always among us. Preserve those who travel, especially as the weather is difficult. Satisfy the wants of your creature. Help those who call upon you in any need, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Especially be with those in our own midst, including Karen, Jan, Irma, Mark, Cecilia, Peggy, Barb, James, Susan, Leanne, Todd, Dean, Lori, Pearl, John, Brooke, and all others whom we name in our hearts. By your Holy Spirit, bless the preaching of your word, grant us faith, and keep us in it all the days of our life, that we may always have faith and trust in you and in your mercy. We ask all these things through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship. Special welcome to all those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a loving, forgiving, ever-present God would be your peace today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Please stand for the offertory.
Our love will send us by his love thanksgiving, and with all of the
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son, in him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
Now part of God's peace and enjoy
the body of Christ.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We stand and we sing together the Nunc Dimittis as it is printed in the bulletin or the hymnal, page 165. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer.
In the name of Jesus, just a couple of quick announcements. Please check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes if you haven't done so. Also, we have the new Higher Things devotions for this in-between season, in between the Transfiguration of our Lord and Ash Wednesday. Please note that our Wednesday, Ash Wednesday Lenten schedule will begin on the last Wednesday in February. That's 2 weeks from tonight. And worship at 4 and 6:30, fellowship meal in between for Ash Wednesday. If you'd like to participate in the imposition of ashes, just come a few minutes early and you'll have that opportunity. I want to thank everybody who took time and made the trek out last night for the State Patrol presentation, CRAKE. Civilian response with an active killing event, part of the ongoing education here by our security committee. We will be starting a volunteer doorkeeper, door watch group on the last Sunday in February to kind of monitor the doors so that people can feel safe when they come to worship. And just to kind of summarize everything that happened last night, if there is a problem during the worship service, run, get away, hide. And if you can't do that, then fight back with any reasonable force that there is. We pray that God would shield us from any kind of violence in that way, but we also pray that God would move us to protect and to care for our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. No Bible study tonight. Vicar will be back from vacation on Saturday. Monday, this coming Monday, is our next Red Cross blood drive. Pastor, anything else?
Tomorrow we have Bible study at 1 o'clock, the Lifeline Bible study.
Okay. I think that, and this Sunday we have our college student meal, and we're doing something a little different this time. You want to share the details there, Pastor?
If you come for the early service, there'll be brunch for you starting at 10:30 as the second service begins. So I know there's going to be ham, egg bakes, there's going to be all sorts of other food. So plan on coming to that Sunday, 10:30, free food.
Better than the majority of our college students come to the 8 o'clock service. And so we're trying this brunch at 10:30. Just try it this time instead of the noon meal, see how it goes. All right. Have a great day and week in the presence of God.